Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello, hello, it's us, we're back, and this time we're back with our good intentions.
Rather than good New Year's resolutions, because that's all fallen way into the pit by now, hasn't it?
So, I particularly wish to own up to my good intentions having fallen at the first hurdle repeatedly. So we're back with name the shame and then it can't control you. So my good intention every single year is that I'm going to do my accounts as I go along.
Yes! Oh, yes, yes. Oh,
and
God,
so
yes.
Here we are, halfway through January. And what's happening? Yes, indeed. Susie Crockford is panicking, trying to get her accounts finished before the tax office charges me £100 for having not got my accounts finished at the very last minute, as usual. And, we were just talking about how, well, there's that, I'm assuming it actually is the Christian phase, is it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions?
I don't know if it's Christian, but it's a very good phrase. Because we get so tied up with unrealistic good intentions and then we beat ourselves senseless when we don't get there, don't we?
Yes.
And I did actually do my tax in July.
Show off.
But I did not submit it because I never quite trust myself till the last minute. And then, of course, at the last minute, I panic and throw it in. But my panic is, can I find it?
Oh, God.
Because I wrote it down, because I do it through Government Gateway myself. Mm-hmm. But I buy a package every year, which is £30, which makes it easier for me to do it. In theory, it does make it easier for me to do it, but every year, because I only do it once a year, I've forgotten how to do it, so I still sit there and swear. But it fills in all the forms for you.
Oh, wow.
Which is extremely helpful.
That sounds like it's worth its weight in gold.
Yes, I think it is. The annoying thing about it is it only works on a PC.
Okay.
And we have Apple.
Ah.
So we have to keep one old PC to do the tax on. And this time the year line is frantically trying to update it and get it to update on Microsoft, which takes about a week and a half, given the speed it's on. But yes, I would like, but I don't, I would like to do my accounts every month. My father did this. He put everything in a drawer, all the pieces of paper in those days, of course, and tallied it up at the end of the month and had a book.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I use a wonky Excel that somebody worked out for me and I've messed up a bit.
Yeah.
Yes, good intentions that pave the path to hell. That's a really good phrase to examine, isn't it? And I think it probably refers to overdoing good intentions. You know, you mean to do it, but some part of you either doesn't want you to, or isn't willing to, or just isn't going to get round to it. What do you think? I used to make promises that I didn't keep, and I'm getting much better than that. But time after time at a funeral, I would promise the bereaved person I'd keep in touch, and then I didn't.
Oh, that's interesting. I've got a massive bee in my bonnet about exactly that. I mean, not necessarily staying in touch with bereaved families, but with keeping one's word.
Yes.
And for me, this is going to sound so pompous, but really, really, to the best of my ability, my word is my bond.
Yes, should be.
Yeah. And I was clearly raised with not just the expectation, but it must have been delivered. It must have been absolutely delivered in my family.
Mm.
That if somebody said they would do a thing, they did it.
Yeah.
And I must admit, it's been one of the kind of the bigger stories of my grown-up life, certainly actually perhaps in the last 5 years or something, is that how incredibly upset and betrayed I feel when people say they're going to do a thing, especially if they use words like commit, and then don't.
Mm.
And I yeah, I've discovered that I feel terribly betrayed by people who say they're going to commit to something and then don't.
Yes, I would agree. And I would temper mine. If I commit, I will do it. Even if it's at the very last minute, I will do it. But if I say something in passing, oh, I'll give you a call or something.
Yeah.
And I should. I've got a touch of guilt talking to my sister-in-law over Christmas. She's in touch with her mother's old friends. Her mother died a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And my mother's got four old friends. Three of them I'd be willing to get in touch with, but the fourth one, I really don't want to talk to because she's just such a pain. But I was really good with my word this time because I did not promise to keep in touch with them. Mm. So if I keep in touch with them, it's hopefully a benediction. It may not be, they can get off the phone fast if they want to. Mm. But I did not give my word that I would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works in both ways. If you give your word, you should keep it, but you should not give your word unless you're utterly, utterly committed to keeping it.
Absolutely.
And that was my problem.
Yeah.
Was I didn't value my word. Mm. I didn't know that it was that important. And I think quite often we don't know that if you betray your word to somebody else, you are also betraying yourself because you're telling yourself you can't be trusted with anything.
Yeah.
Including you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if I'm in a meditation where I'm trying to learn something on a higher level and they say to me, are you going to commit to doing this? I usually say, no, I'm going to try to commit to doing this because I'm not sure I can.
Yeah, which is surely a much better thing to say.
I think so, yes. Yeah. Yes, I think so. And I'm not so bad with people who say they're going to do something and don't, because I know that I've been bad at it myself in the past. But the only reasons I think I've been bad at it is because I've taken on too much.
Mm.
And that's another thing about good intentions. So often we take on far too much. And things have their natural time of it. I've got a slight bit of guilt. I was looking after a lady whose husband took his own life at the beginning of COVID.
Mm.
And it's become a natural process of not calling her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's picking herself back up again. And in a way that you can see that that's right. I've still got a little bit of a guilt about it. And there's somebody who wants me to go to her church to help them with a service with her on Sunday. And I said I would, so I'm going to have to, but I wish I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I mean, in a way that, are we not right back round to exactly what we were talking about last time with the oh my goodness. Guilt.
Shame.
In that there's sometimes the motivation for doing something is almost the shame of, well, I said I would, so now I've got to kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's not a good energy.
It's not a good energy at all. But yeah, I guess we're back round to we have to name what's true for us. We have to name what's true for us in order to not end up shamed, and also in order to not end up backed into a corner of our own kind of, you know, well, I said I would, so I got to type of, because that's it's really dishonest.
It is.
And then if we name what's true for us, we will only pledge to those things that we actually feel that we really can or we really want to actually do.
Mm.
And so in a way, all of these things boil down to that thing that you name as the sort of, you know, the Scorpio trait of having a really good, long, hard look at yourself
at the darkness,
the mirror, at the darkness, at the light, at the whatever it is, and going, why do I do what I do? Why have I said I will do this, that, or the next thing? Do I actually really want to do this, that, or the next thing?
Oh, yeah, that's so important, because that's owning the shadow.
Okay.
Do you know that phrase?
Yeah. But okay, just,
which is, let's acknowledging.
Pretend I don't. Tell me about it.
It's acknowledging all your egoic frailties.
Uh-huh.
All your prejudices, or your hatreds, or your pride, or all the parts of you that you want to shove around in a corner. Things like, I have broken my word. I have to own that. I have.
Mm.
But it's much easier to pretend I hadn't and not raise the subject.
Yeah.
Or come up with, there was a very good reason why I didn't. Mm. But I mean, the reason I have that particular shadow is because I've always used to take on too much.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to rest again and boundaries and the same old cycle. But it's so important because every time you go around that cycle, there's another layer of the onion to look at, and there's a hopefully another listener who's going, oh, my God, I do that too.
Yeah.
You know, I promise things and I can't do them. I overstretch myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you before, and I think it bears telling, I've got a dear friend, I love her dearly, and her, she didn't want children, wasn't entirely happy with her partner, got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted the child, she had the child, she had jaundice when he was born, so she wasn't even able to bond with him for 10 days because he wasn't allowed to be kept with her.
Ouch.
And it's always been a slight, the child has always been far more involved with the father than the mother.
Mm.
And the family are still together. But the mother and the child have a bit of a problem. And I think from guilt, she does overdo things for everybody. But she told me this story over Christmas and I was having to grit my teeth not to go, why? Because her son and his girlfriend, who'd stayed with them for 6 months while they'd got trial for new jobs.
Mm.
They were both living and working in London and they got a trial for a new job locally to the parents. Lived with them for 6 months, never paid a penny towards housekeeping or anything like that. And he stopped talking to his mother halfway through. She was always cooking for them. They didn't cook or anything like that. And she just took on this burden of overdoing it for everybody. Whereas I think even I, who am a bit of a wimp, would have said, let's share the cooking.
Mm.
And this couple went away on holiday, and the mother hasn't had a holiday since the beginning of COVID.
Mm.
And they now live an hour away. And the night they were due to come back, she made a bouillabaisse for them, because she knows they love it, and drove an hour, left it on their porch, drove home, and then found out that they weren't coming home that day after all. They were coming home 24 hours later. So drove another hour back to pick it up and bring it home.
Wow.
Because it would have gone off. And then drove the next day and just took the bacon and eggs because she hadn't got anything left. And for some reason she couldn't take the bouillabaisse back, and I'm not quite sure why. And she was saying how, you know, how tired she was, and they didn't even say thank you. And part of me was going, stop it!
Blimey, do you not owe it to her to say stop it?
I am saying it gently.
Right.
I am pointing out you overgive. She's got fibromyalgia. Mm. Well, of course she has. And I don't know where to start with her. We've got back in touch in the last year. We've not been in touch for a long, long time. And I really don't know where to start because she's been in this relationship she didn't really want to be in for 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, now she's having an affair with somebody else. You just go, oh, my God, where do we unravel this from? Where?
Yeah.
And she's all full of care and good intentions for everybody except her.
Which I guess is where you get to if you can't look at yourself in that
mirror,
dark mirror.
Yeah. And own your shadow and just say. And I know three women right now who are in a situation with men they do not love anymore and thinking, I can't leave him. For whatever reason, I can't leave him. One of them, the man, died eventually. Mm. But I find it hard to help her grieve because she shut him off from finding somebody to love over 10 years. Because if she'd left him, he might have had a chance to find somebody else.
Mm.
And it's such a difficult thing to say to a woman, you are so unhappy, you've got to leave him for his sake as well as yours. But we come back perhaps to the, you don't do that, it's not safe out there. If you're married, it's for life. I had a bit of that with Jonathan.
Mm.
You know, the Christian thing of you don't get divorced. Fortunately, I didn't get a choice. But why do we overdo it, Susie? You probably don't, but why do we?
Oh, no, I do. Is or it at shame? Least I have in the past.
Conditioning?
I think a massive part of it is conditioning. For me, it's not shame. Shame doesn't really motivate me, I have to say. I think perhaps because I never got to... I was very overexposed as a young woman. We've had this conversation, you know. I was a girl in a boys' school, and there kind of was nowhere to hide.
Mm.
So all my shames were very publicly enacted.
Yes.
And as a result of that, I really don't think I am motivated by shame very much at all, because I'm all too well aware that it doesn't kill you at all. No. You know? And that, you know...
That's an important thing to say out loud. Shame doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
It's not as frightening as we've been taught it is.
No, it's really not. It is not a life-threatening condition.
No.
You
might do something, but it is life-threatening because of it, but it itself is not.
But I think for me, that all the ways in which I have chosen to overgive in the past, and let's be really clear, you know, when we overgive, we choose that.
Yes.
And I think for me, it's been a very kind of mixed bag of some kind of overblown hero complex or something, you know, around like, oh, I've got to help this person because I can. Whereas, and it took me so long to realise that if I was trying to step up to help people from a place of, oh, but I have to because they're asking, rather than the deep and true knowing that this is my work, that I was stealing basically from that person and from the person whose work it is to help them,
mm-hmm.
and from myself by over giving, and that everything was wrong with all of that.
Yeah, and that's so important to say.
Yeah.
And beautifully said. Because if you jump in, you do not allow the space for the better person to do it. Not better as in better as in a nicer person.
The more appropriate.
More appropriate person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the same with a relationship that's wrong. If you won't leave because of the shame of leaving or what the other person will think of you, you are robbing them of the chance of another love.
Yeah.
Well, they might still find it and leave you, of course. But generally, in these three situations, the man hasn't left and wasn't interested in leaving. And maybe they were holding the woman back. But you've got to do it.
Well, or you've got to try to
mend it.
Mend what's broken.
Exactly. You've got to do something.
I know. Yeah, I think the other motivation why we overgive so much or overdo is that our cultural expectation is always more.
Mm.
There's got to be more. You've got to do more, give more, buy more, sell more, blah, 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 more. Yeah. And that appears to be, it definitely has every appearance of being some kind of fundamental human trait that we constantly seem to want another one somehow, and that translates itself into all kinds of areas in our life where another one's just not appropriate.
Yeah, that's pure ego, shiny new thing, make it all better
for
5 minutes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that we do that as consumers, but also providers of shiny new thing. And somehow we believe that if we just keep on saying yes to shiny new thing, even if shiny new thing is new experience, new relationship in the very, very broadest sense of the word. You know, it could be a relationship with a new person who rings us up and wants whatever it is we're kind of selling, in inverted commas. That I think we are programmed by our culture to think that more is better.
Yes.
And I would suggest that that's demonstrably not the case.
Demonstrably not true. Yes, you've got to be better, shinier, stronger. And it, what I think it does is it encourages us to go wide, not deep, in spiritual work. We had a lovely lady for an astrological year ahead reading before Christmas. And every year we say the same thing to her. Why are you doing all these courses?
Mm.
because she's learning angelic Reiki and this Reiki and that Reiki and something human design and that something else and something else with tarot and something else. And part of me, and I keep just saying to her, where is it in you? Where is the grounding point? Where can you work from? These are just more tools.
Mm.
They're just more excuses not to do your work.
Mm.
Why do you think you need more? Oh, well, I thought it would be useful to do this, and I'm doing this £5,000 course on manifesting greatness, you know. So sure. Manifesting greatness. Okay. For what purpose? You know, to be magnificent, so I can teach other women to be magnificent. Well, why don't you start off by just being magnificent? Because she is.
But I mean, do you know what, though? That's another one of those mores. Why on earth must we all be
magnificent? Yes.
Yes. Why can't we be us? In all our magnificence.
Exactly. Without... The real magnificence to me is sitting in my jeans in front of your fire with you wrapped in a shawl talking about this kind of thing. To me, that's magnificent. And yes, Miss Scruffy, totally. I fell over in these trousers in the mud yesterday and you haven't said, oh, God, you've come to see me in dirty jeans.
Murky White House.
I know. But I'm magnificently okay with my dirty jeans.
Me too. Magnificently okay
Thank
with
you.
Dirty jeans. Which I had failed to observe, it must be
Well,
said.
That's always the case too, isn't it? I remember going to work once when I was 20 and I, in a hurry, I put one black boot and one brown boot on. And I only noticed at lunchtime because the heels were slightly different and I found I was walking funny and I thought, what's the matter with me? And went, oh. And after that, again, back to the shame, but nobody noticed except me.
Funny. I've got a dear friend, Peter Zeely, who's an amazing... cranial osteopath. Mm. He posted on Facebook recently a picture of his one brown shoe and one black shoe. He'd got dressed in the dark, gone to work, spent the whole day treating people. Only one person noticed.
Yes.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Or said something. They might have noticed, but they didn't say something.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah, it's true, you don't.
But at this time of the year, this is the time at which we've broken our New Year's resolutions and we come back to this shame and this good intentions. And it all comes from the ground point of where we started it from. And I'm going to own up now. 6 weeks before Christmas, I started Couch to 5K.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Well done.
And I did it because I know I can't run anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't do anything about it now, but I did it quietly without telling anyone except Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it at the new year because I didn't want it to be a new age fad. That's my ego.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that the whole overarching energy of the new year is very powerful. But there's also the failure bit. And the I had a bit of that with people over Christmas when I told my friends and family. They said, well, why don't you just work more? Quite discouraging in many ways. Aren't you a bit too old for this? And that sort of thing. And yes, I probably am a bit too old for this. It was divine for a 50-year-old woman. But you'd be amazed. I'm doing every week twice before moving on because I am older than the regulated thing and I need to do it at my pace. And part of the power of it was understanding that this is a wonderful system, but I'm a unique human being and I'm going to do this, but I'm doing it at my speed.
Good for you.
Not at what they're telling you to do.
Yeah.
And there are actually days now when I really want to do it.
You want to go for a run?
Yes.
Are you entirely well?
Yes.
Hurrah.
Yes. But it's important because I had the good intention, but I had to make the commitment to it. And the only way I could make the commitment to it was to trying it out quietly by myself before telling anyone.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the things that we don't realise, how we dissipate things by telling people and then we get the shame because we didn't follow it on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like breaking the promise again, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just quietly say, I'm going to give this a quiet try, but I know I have to do something. And I know I'm committed to it because I had to break several other rules to keep the commitment, which is I needed a pair of shoes to run in.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an old battered pair of trainers which somebody gave to me 2 years ago when we started. The whole COVID thing started. And somebody was saying their son had outgrown his size 7 trainers within 6 weeks. Did any of you want them? Yes!
Whoa.
But I've worn those for 2 years and they're falling apart now. So I had to go out and buy a pair of new trainers because I needed to buy a pair of shoes my feet were comfortable in and happy mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. and which worked for me. And I had to spend a lot of money.
Ouch.
And I remembered this from a time years ago when I wasn't getting, I may have told this story before, so forgive me, everybody. I wasn't getting any book commissions. I'd written one book and I really wanted to go, no, two books. I really wanted to go on writing books, but I couldn't, hadn't got any ideas, hadn't got an agent, hadn't got anything like that. And I did the House of the Psyche meditation with my spiritual teacher. And one of the rooms in the House of the Psyche is the study. And I was talking afterwards, you discuss the meditation if you want to. And I said, in my study, there was no desk. And he said, oh, a writer with no desk. How interesting. I need to make that commitment to make get the desk. And I was looking for a desk, and the only desk I liked the look of was £400, and I wasn't very wealthy. And I was thinking, oh, that's too much, so I didn't buy it. And I was talking to a friend, she said, well, it depends how much you want it, doesn't it?
Mm.
Next day I went back and bought the desk. So I'm standing in Molehaven and looking at this only pair of running trainers that they've got and going, and looking around at other ones that were cheaper and going, And then in my head just said, how much do you want to be able to run?
Yeah.
So I just picked them up and went bought them.
Well done. And now you are running 5K yet? Or?
Oh, God, no.
No?
Oh, God, no, no, no. I'm running about 5 or 6 minutes at a time.
Okay.
Because that's why it is such a good system. It starts you off with a 30-second walk for 5 minutes, run for 30 seconds, walk for a minute and a half, run for 30 seconds, walk for a minute and a half, run for 30 seconds. And then you build it up to a minute and then 3 minutes and then 5 minutes. And slowly and steadily. And I just thought, don't beat yourself up. You've got hills around your house.
Mm.
Do it every week twice.
Good for you.
And it's only now I'm officially 6 weeks into it, but actually I'm 12 weeks into it,
yeah,
that I'm starting to tell people about it. And I'm already seeing, why do you want to do that? Oh, you know, is it good for you? Is it bad for your knees? Is it going to give you hip problems? Is it going to do this? Is it going to... So I can now say, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of our good intentions, we speak them too soon. Yes. I think a good intention is something that you need to take into yourself. And I've always been a blabbermouth, so I'm learning not to tell people so they can't...
Really? Is that very not Scorpio of you to be a blabbermouth?
Gemini, Venus in Gemini and was a journalist.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas I'm a very not blabbermouth. I'm hilariously kind of...
secretive.
Yeah. Much less so than I used to be.
Well, Sun Scorpios are...
Okay.
I've got three good friends, Sun Scorpios, and I love their deepness and their final honesty. You know, they'll come out with it when it's the right time. So I'm trying to work with this with my Taurus Sun and my Scorpio Moon, because Scorpio Moon lives in paranoia and guilt. So it will quite often do the wrong thing to cover its tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it quite often tells the truth to hide the truth.
Mm.
So I'm now I'm learning how to use it and to go down deep and chest things out before I will speak, because it's less painful for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh right. God, I've said it in public now. Now I've got to finish it, but I know I will finish it.
Yeah, of course you will if you've done that.
Yeah,
you know, you got that far with it, then nothing. Yeah.
And it basically comes from the fact that I've got two young beagles, and every now and then they go chasing off after a rabbit, and I can't run after them. But now I can.
Now, yes.
Yeah, it may only be a basic trot after them, but it's okay.
Hey, a trot's a trot.
Yeah, and my body deserves this.
Totally. Yeah, really good for you. Well done. You're very inspiring, Maggie.
Oh, thank you. No, if I want to be inspiring.
Well, you're inspiring me.
Well, thank you.
I'm not sure that I'll ever do couch to 5K just because,
I was really anti it to start with, because I always am. I know these. I know myself by now that if I go, no, I don't want to do that, 2 years later I'll be doing it.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm not. No, I won't do that. But I'm unlikely to do something that needs an app.
Oh, I haven't got the app.
You haven't got the app?
Oh, God, no.
How are you doing it?
I just go on the NHS website and read what you're supposed to do each week, pick up my stopwatch and go and do it.
Ah, good for you.
The first week, first few weeks, you time yourself. It's 5 minutes walks and then 20 minutes of the walking and running. So I just put the 25 minute timer on my watch and have a stopwatch in the other hand and...
Off you go.
Off you go. And the other thing about being older is it doesn't matter if you miss 3 seconds here or there and you don't, and if you have to stop because the car comes past. I'm not beating myself up, whereas if I was younger, I would have been going, oh, God, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it right. So I think it's for me, certainly, it's really important to test it out and see what my limits are and my boundaries are. Mm. But no, I haven't got the app. I haven't got the NHS app at all. Don't even use the health app on my phone.
No, me neither. I don't.
Yeah. I accidentally looked at it the other day and it said, your exercise has increased very impressively. And I thought,
really?
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose it has, hasn't it? Because I've been carrying the phone on me, you see.
That's right. Gosh. So, okay. I'm aware that there is a health app, although I might have deleted it on my phone.
Actually. Yes, you will. We're very bad people because we can't get pinged to see if we've been in touch with somebody with COVID. Because if you're in the health, the NHS app, it will. But I don't allow my phone to know my location anyway.
No, me neither. I don't allow my phone to know diddly squat unless I want it to know.
Exactly.
Because I'm a Scorpio.
No! And I'm a Scorpio moon. You know, I wouldn't have an Alexa.
Me neither.
No. And I do notice that, you know, when I go to websites, I do get those adverts following me around. Have you not noticed that?
What do you mean by that?
On a computer, if you click on an advert,
right,
or go to a website or go or look at something on eBay that you might think about buying, yeah, whenever you go to any other website, they'll bring up an appropriate ad for you.
Oh, I don't know. Everything of mine's got ad blocker on it, so good. I just don't get advertised at.
Absolutely everything. I must talk to you about that then.
Don't talk to me. you need youth. I don't know.
Yes, you do. You need youth, don't you? Yeah. But I find it quite amusing sometimes. And I wish in the old days when I did have the Facebook ads, which are still on my phone, but I don't use Facebook on the phone if I can help it, you can hide ad and it asks for your reason, repetitive, irrelevant or something. And I wish they'd put one which was damn offensive, fuck off.
There's to you and your old lady bras. Yeah. How dare you?
That's another thing. I've had to go back into a bra because I'm running.
Oh, yes.
So I probably mentioned that to somebody and somebody else's Siri picked that up or something. I don't know.
Well, do you know what? I didn't used to believe my kids with this at all. They insisted that your phone's listening whether you've got Siri activated or not. And I just thought that was highly unlikely because I was silly and ignorant. And
naive.
Naive. We did an experiment, which was we picked a subject matter which we knew that we hadn't discussed anything related to. Our chosen subject was donkeys. We had a conversation about donkeys, and then we all pulled our phones on what adverts came up on our phones, despite the fact that Siri is disabled on every single phone in the room. And this is before they put ad blocker on for me. And, you guessed it, we started getting adverts for, the donkey sanctuary and other donkey-related things soon as you like.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Anyway.
Boring. But it is the law of attraction. It's actually demonstrating the law of attraction. It's marketing and it's magical and it's nasty and it's intrusive and all that. But it is also a demonstration of what you put out, you get back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I mean,
not a nice one.
No, but I understand what you're saying. But it's what you put out, you get back, because there's bots and algorithms and God knows what else.
Yeah,
manifesting it on your behalf.
Yeah, but it might at least start you thinking about what happens in the real world as well.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Okay, so to that end, I would love to propose a little spell along the lines of what you put out. You get back an experimental spell for our dear listener around the subject of liberation from the way that shame closes us down, the way that we've been societally inculcated to overdo it all. And the way that we actually do so wholly create our reality through that dear subject that we ramble on about all the time, through the power of words as spells. And that therefore I invite in amongst the soup of our good intentions in this world to make a really overt and clear statement for ourselves around what is my intention for my life at this time. And that if we can overtly state that as a positive, as an action, not as a negative. So it's not I won't, or I'm not going to, or I let go of, or any of those things. It's I will, I do, I am. And that whatever it is that you decide is the thing. So for example, for me at the moment and enduringly, is my commitment is in January in particular, my commitment is to deeply, profoundly self-nourishing rest. And that my commitment has been, and so far I haven't broken this commitment, is that in January, aside from doing my accounts, poxy things, that everything I do is nourishing, restful. It's not scurrying around doing work. It's not saying yes to all kinds of people who want all kinds of things. It's just that I need rest. I don't typically have any, well, I haven't had any kind of holiday for years and years and years. I don't mean that in a whingy, poor me way, but I don't, because it's a really good time to run workshops is the summer. I don't get summer holidays. So my holiday is now. But in the past, what's happened is that I've had this idea that January is going to be this time of deeply nourishing self-care and all the rest of it. And instead what happens is I run around like an absolute idiot doing things like, I don't know, taking up the curtains or sewing new buttons on everything or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that this year I just thought, no, that those are just different kinds of work.
Yes.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to read all those books that I've said I want to read, the ones I actually want to read rather than the ones I think I should.
Yes.
and I'm going to spend time sitting by the fire, staring into the flames, just letting myself be. And I'm feeling ridiculously proud of myself so far that I've actually managed to do that. And it's been incredibly necessary. Our entire family got COVID over Christmas and it did us right in. And I've needed that to start to get my strength back. But I'm convinced that the only reason I've been able to do it is because I turned it into, in a way, an affirmation, a statement of power, of just really, really, really simply, it's January, I will rest.
Yes. Lovely. Lovely. I've got on my desk, what is your intention today? And usually my intention is to be happy. Because if I'm happy, I will radiate happiness for everybody else.
Yeah.
So some days I'll say, today I'd like to be a channel of grace. Today I want to be happy. Today I'm going to read a book. But also every day, something simple to nurture me, which is similar. It's not we had deep rest over Christmas. It was wonderful. Again, like you, I had intended to do things like taking up some curtains, doing some of this. I did hang some curtains, but apart from that, I read 4 books.
Yay!
End to end, start to finish, over 4 days, I sat down and read a book a day.
What did you read?
Oh, I read Jodie Taylor. I love her Chronicles of St. Mary's. They're lovely, silly fiction about time travel, except it's not time travel. It's investigating history in conventional time.
Oh!
And they're funny and they're witty and they're sweet. But it was really interesting. I read to the end of the 4th one, started the 5th one and said, nope, finished.
I read Tyson Yunkaporta's Sand Talk.
Mm-hmm.
If you only ever read one book as long as you live, make it that.
Tyson?
I think it's Yunkaporta, something like that. He's an Australian, part Aboriginal, part settler
and the writer, called?
And it's called Sand Talk.
Sand Talk.
And it's stunning treatise on the way in which we need to reimagine ourselves back into connection with the rest of life.
Okay, that and book. Lucy Pierce's Burning Woman are on my list.
Great.
And we must stop. We're at 40 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And see you next week. Thanks for listening.